But here, on the very rim of known space, justice is a long way away.
Hello, my friends, and welcome back to the Space Game Junkie Podcast. I, as always, am your co-host, Brian. Joining me, as always, is your co-host, Spaz.
That's the 15th person today who's told me I'm a terrible train conductor. Where the hell do all these people get off?
What is that from? What is that from?
It's a variation on a joke I saw somewhere else.
Okay. Now I want to watch Paddington 2. That's my favorite train movie. Also joining us is your co-host, Julie.
It's beautiful, warm weather here in the Midwest and no ice in sight.
And they just sent 2,000 troops home from Los Angeles. So that's funny. He came here and did nothing and then left. Also joining us is your
co-host. Mission accomplished.
Yay! Also joining us is your co-host, Thurston.
Yeah, with working Discord. Today didn't decide to do an update.
Oh my God. And finally, Jacob will be joining us in a few minutes. He just got a phone call right before we were going live. So he'll join us in a few minutes. Sorry, we were off for a couple weeks, folks. Various circumstances kept us from going on, whether technical or personal. Nothing serious, of course, but my standing rule is if two or more co-hosts can't make a show and we don't have a guest, we postpone because, you know, I want everyone to be here, you know, or at least as many people as possible. If one person misses because they're sick, it's all right. But if two people or more miss, I don't think it's going to be as fun. I mean, we're all fun. We'd probably have fun with three of us or two of us even, but like, it's more fun with five of us. So yay. Hey, Chris. So today we're doing a regular check-in. We haven't done one of these in a while where we talk about how we're doing and what we're playing. I will start. I will tell you guys, I think it's because my brain knows RoboCop Unfinished Business is about to come out. I have not been able to settle on a game in like a month. Like, I don't even remember the last game I finished or settled on. But like, I've been bouncing around like five games in the last month. Like on the stream, I've been playing some MechWarrior 5 Mercenaries, which Jacob, who hopefully will be here soon, gave me a mod that turns it kind of casual, makes it a little easier. But I got some other mods too, and I'm having a great deal of fun with it. I realized it's got kind of the same gameplay loop as Warhammer Inquisitor Martyr. You go to the map, you pick a mission, you do the mission, rinse, repeat. And that's great. That's basically what I want. And once you guys told me to use third person mode, I almost said thirst person mode, which is a completely different game. once you guys told me to do third person mode, that changed everything. That really changed everything because it's just so much better in third person mode. Oh my God.
Now I have to add though, there are certain cockpits that look great in first person. But then once you exit the dropship, then you switch to third.
Yeah. Yeah.
And one of those in particular is the Hunchback. If you are in a Hunchback, look down in the cockpit before you launch. You will notice some. There are some fun things that are hidden in there.
Hunchback. I've not gotten one of those yet. I'm up to six mechs now.
Not the Hunchback. Excuse me. The Urban Mech.
Okay, I don't have one of those.
The Urban Mech.
It's still pretty early.
Urban mechs are very, very common, and they're cheap because it's a light mech.
Right, right. I have not encountered one yet, and I have not salvaged one. But I'm enjoying it. Like it's really like you do a mission, and the mission there are a decent amount of missions, especially if you add a mod called Coyote's Missions. There's a decent amount of missions, and they're pretty fun. And the AI is fairly smart. It's gotten better since release. And like I don't have to micro them anymore. They pretty much know what the fuck they're doing. It's great. And I've been playing that, and I've been playing Logistical 3, and I've been playing No Way Home. I've just been like bouncing. I've been bouncing around. Jacob's back. Great. Hey, Jacob.
Continue on.
Okay.
No,
it's fine. I just want to say hello. So I've been bouncing about a bunch of Neverwinter Nights 2 just hit Steam. I play a little of that. But I haven't really settled on a game because as of tomorrow, as we record this, RoboCop Unfinished Business comes out. And once that drops, that is all I'm going to be playing until it's finished. Because I loved Rogue City so much that I think my brain is just like, nope, we can't settle on anything yet because we know this is coming. But yeah, that comes out tomorrow and it's not, I've been waiting. I've already bought it. I can't wait. I wish I could like preload it. That's how excited I am. I wish I could have it on my hard drive. But I've been just playing a bunch of games and I've been enjoying them, you know, quite a bit. Logistical 3 is great. No Way Home is great. MechWarrior 5, especially modded, is great. So yeah, I've just been bouncing around a lot of games. Haven't really settled on one for a while. And it's funny. If we had done this show 2 or 3 weeks ago, I would have told you I'm personally feeling like shit because I was getting no sleep for like a month and a half because I tried this ADHD medication and it ruined my sleep. The doctor was like, it's going to help your sleep. Nope, nope. Did the opposite. Did the absolute opposite. And I got no REM sleep for like a month. It was awful. But now that I've weaned off that medication, I'm finally getting REM sleep again and I'm feeling kind of back to my old self, which is good. I mean, I was hoping to improve upon my old self, but not that, I guess that's, I'm not doing it that way. So that's fine. But I mean, state of the world, like, no, it was guanfacine. I wasn't going to say the specific, but since you asked, it was guanfacine is the one I tried, because he didn't want to try something with a stimulant. So I tried something without a stimulant and oh my God, did it keep me, not only did it like ruin my REM sleep. I couldn't sleep. Like I'd lie there awake at night thinking about 1,000 things rather than falling back to bed. So yeah, it was not great, but I'm thankfully feeling a bit better. I mean, with all the shit going on in the world, you know, not 100%, but better than I was when we would have recorded this a month or so ago. So yeah, just, there's a lot of games I'm working through. Oh, and the other game I forgot to mention, that's amazing that I'm playing. I just got it. Parking Garage Rally Circuit. Oh God. I put my phone on Do Not Disturb. What's getting through? I apologize for that. I don't know what that was. It's basically a racing rally game, but in parking garages. And that sounds silly, and it is, but it's also amazing. If you liked racing games that were on the Sega Saturn in the 90s, just go buy it right now. It's if you like that kind of 90s kind of arcade, simcade racing thing with lots of amazing drifting and silly levels and an amazing, amazing, astounding soundtrack, Parking Garage Rally Circuit is just amazing. I would have recorded that, but like, I'll end with this. There's a certain way to start where if you hit the accelerator at the right time, you get a boost. And usually I have to do that. Like I have to restart like 6 times before I get it right. And I didn't want to record that, you know? So, that's why I recorded MechWarrior 5. So yeah, just playing a lot of awesome games and definitely feeling better physically because I'm getting sleep again. What was that futuristic racing game on the 90s? F-Zero? Oh, that's Nintendo. Oh, God.
Ooh. Wipeout.
Wipeout, thank you. Yes. Yeah, Wipeout was great. There are several Wipeout clones these days. Ballistic, Redout. Yeah, there are a lot of, there are a few. There are another really good one. I can't remember the name of. There are a bunch of Wipeout clones these days. That's not a bad thing. All right. So that is me. How about you, Spaz? How are you doing? And what are you playing?
Well, I've also been bouncing between a lot of games. One I've been playing a lot of recently is one that you streamed, Dustwind Resistance.
Ah, yes.
Now, you get a dog. Your dog can not only throw grenades and disarm landmines, but you also get a vehicle later in the game. Oh. And your dog can drive.
Wait, what?
Yes. Yes. I'm not kidding. You can make the dog your designated driver.
Sure. Why not?
Okay, sure. I mean, video games.
Yeah. Well, there's a good reason why, is because it has a mounted machine gun, and anyone who is in a passenger seat can shoot. So if you make the dog a driver, the others can shoot.
Because the dog can't shoot because he doesn't have working thumbs.
Yes, you need to have opposable thumbs. You need to have opposable thumbs to use a gun.
Somehow drive the infantry fighting vehicle without said opposable thumbs.
Sure. Yes. and can throw grenades and can disarm landmines.
You know what?
Very versatile dog.
That sounds like a great dog. It sounds like a wonderful dog. Is it Crypto from the new Superman movies?
No, I have to say about that, I know that a lot of people are interested in getting a dog, in particular because of the movie.
Oh yeah, please.
But I fear is people are going to get a dog, realize they are not good owners for a dog.
Yeah, I'm worried about
that. And then too. Abandon said dog.
Yeah, that's what I'm worried about. Like, I don't know if you guys heard, as we're recording this, the new Superman movie just came out this last weekend, and it's thankfully doing well. I can't wait to see it. But apparently, interest in dog adoption has jumped like 500% because of Crypto. The dog Crypto, not cryptocurrency. The dog Crypto. And
decades.
Just to be clear. interest in dog adoption has gone up a lot, but that happened. Remember what happened when 101 Dalmatians came out and all these people went to adopt Dalmatians and like, oh, Dalmatians are hard dogs to handle. And then they all got like sent back to the shelters and shit. Like, I really hope that doesn't happen again. You know what I mean? Like, please, people, if you want to adopt a dog, just realize how much work it is to own and live with a dog. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. And
our neighbors adopted a dog during the pandemic. We're told it was a Chihuahua puppy. It now weighs 70 pounds.
That's not a Chihuahua. That's a big, or unless it's a very large Chihuahua. But they still have the dog?
God bless them. They still have the dog. Aww. This is a thundering bundle of muscle.
Oh, Chris, your dog is 17. Oh, Jack Russ. Jack Russells are great. I love Jack Russells. I love all dogs. I love all dogs. But I will, if you say a breed, I'll be like, that breed's great, because I love all dogs. But yeah, Jack Russells are great. So yeah, folks, if you're going to get a dog because you saw the new Superman movie or you played Dustwind Resistance, just understand how much work a dog is. And expensive.
Unless you get an old tired dog. Yeah, I've had an old tired dog before. They said front walk, that's far enough. I peed, let's go back in.
Well, yeah, but even if it's an old dog, you still got to feed it. You got to take it to the vet. So there's also the expense of owning a dog. It's not just, you're basically buying a four-legged child, basically.
That's for even to adopt a dog. We adopted a dog that was found along with their siblings in a box along a highway by Kentucky. But by the time we got her all the way up north to the Midwest and put all the medical expenses in, it was like $500.
Yeah. No, my wife's sister is a vet and they have four dogs and three of them are pit bull. No, two of them are pit bull mixes. I don't remember what the newest one is. And then they have a three-legged pug. It's the weirdest mix of dogs and they're all very sweet mostly, but it's like, geez, God, how do you deal with this? How do you fucking
but
deal?
I don't understand. Here's something to think about, though. If you've ever lived in a neighborhood like mine where there's been burglars, right? And we see this all the time in the television. Somebody breaks into the good guy's house late at night, you know, and overcomes the alarm. Fran and I look at each other and say, get a dog. Dog always goes off.
Yeah, that's... Oh, Chris, folks, you can't see this on the podcast, but Chris in our chat posted a picture of his dog in our Discord chat. And, oh, my God, Chris, your dog is adorable. But again, I will say that about not to belittle, but I will say that about almost any dog. I love dogs so much, but your dog is adorable. Absolutely adorable. What a sweetheart. 17. That's a lengthy age for a dog. May your puppy live many, many years longer. Many, many years. What a handsome dog. Anyway, Spaz, you were talking about dust and resistance and we got sidetracked about dogs.
It's fine. Yeah, the game, I know you weren't playing it further, and that's fine. I continued the campaign much further than you have, and
sure.
It gets very interesting, I'll say.
That's good. No, that's good. I mean, I didn't play the first one beyond our co-op stream, but I mean, I enjoyed it, but I, you know, it's in the end, not for me ultimately. So I just move on, you know, but that's
well, yeah. The first game was more of a sandbox where you can create missions and it's multiplayer focused. But unfortunately with that one, the multiplayer didn't really kick off with anybody. So, the developer decided to switch tactics and, for the sequel, make a story-focused campaign.
Smart. I mean, it's really hard to get a multiplayer game off the ground. Really, really hard. I don't envy.
I mean, it's playable single player. It was sure. It was playable single player, you could make missions that were single player, but they were going for a multiplayer focus, and they just didn't work.
Yeah. I mean, there's only so much time, so many games, you know, and people have been playing the same multiplayer games for years. You know, they might dabble in your game and then they go back to what they were playing. That's what seems to happen. You know, like they've been playing Counter-Strike for years. You know, they try your game, they play it a month or two, then they go back to Counter-Strike. That's just what seemed to happen. But yeah, no, I did like Dustwind Resistance, and I'm glad they were able to make a sequel. You know, not every developer gets to do that, so I'm glad they were able to.
Right.
And again, good game, Fallout-y vibes, good writing. I find I don't have the patience for that kind of game anymore. You know, in my off time. Anyway.
Yeah, that's fair. I've also been playing.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, I've also been playing other stuff, lots of other stuff. There's a game that recently released just a couple days ago called Warspace 2.
Ooh, I'm gonna stream that on Friday. I'm excited about it.
Yeah. So let me tell you a little bit on that. It plays well with the controller.
Good.
There are some UI issues and UX issues. For example, it has Diablo-like loot, which is fine.
That's fine.
But there's no way to directly compare or easily compare with a pop-up of what you are looking at versus what you have equipped.
Come on.
But that's something that people have been complaining about. A lot of people have said about that in reviews, and hopefully the developer will add it.
Hopefully. Yeah, I hope so. That's kind of necessary in a game like this these days.
You know? Well, I don't want to say it's necessary. It's that it's
expected. It's expected, I think.
Yeah, expected, I guess, is fair.
Yeah.
Maps are pretty huge.
That's good.
There's a lot going on. Even in what I was streaming just yesterday, it was a quote unquote small galaxy for the main. So there's two ways to play: the main story, mm-hmm. and then there's sandbox, mm-hmm. and it's a little bit like Drox Operative in that you can play with one character being persistent,
mm.
and if you start a new galaxy, you can bring that character into the new galaxy and sort of continue your progression because the skill trees are huge.
Oh, okay,
and there's a lot going on there.
Oh, good.
A lot.
Good. Good, good, good. Good. I'm excited to play it. It looks like my kind of jam. It definitely looks like my kind of jam. But I'll probably start with the story at the very least when I stream it.
I've been playing just story side, and it's very cool.
Oh, good. I'm really looking forward to streaming it. Really looking forward to it on Friday. What else?
Let's see. Oh, yeah. A couple of FTL likes. There's Void War,
mm-hmm.
which is really good.
Oh, good.
I mean, if you have any sort of affinity for FTL and combine that with aspects of the Warhammer 40K universe and Cthulhu mythos, that's kind of what you get in Void War.
Hmm.
It's very, very grim, dark, in themes, but the gameplay is very much like FTL. And the other one, which is also an FTL like, as I said, is Reclaim the Sea.
Oh,
now
yeah,
this is like FTL, but on water. And you don't have a fleet chasing you. Technically, you don't have a fleet chasing you from left to right. So if you want to backtrack, you can freely backtrack. The drawback is that the longer you spend in a particular sector, the more the force that is chasing you, just not in a visible way, will get alerted to your presence and they'll interdict you more often. So you'll have those fights where you get interdicted and you don't get any rewards for those fights because the patrolling ships don't carry anything. But you have plenty of events along the way. There's even a reference to giant alien spiders, which is an infamous event from FTL.
They all no joke.
It even states there's a sign that reads giant alien spiders. And then if you decide to proceed anyway, you meet a shopkeeper who says, oh yeah, I just put up that sign to scare off raiders. There's no such thing as giant alien spiders.
That's good.
Yeah
You guys are putting links into the games you played. I should do this. Okay, yeah, that one looks good. I've got it wish listed.
Yeah, for $10, it's very much worth your time if you like FTL.
Who doesn't like
FTL? And No Way Home, as you mentioned, is solid.
Oh, such a good game. I'm still working my way through the story, but it is such a fun story. And the combat is so satisfying. Just so satisfying.
And the writing. Oh, the writing.
God, the writing. Yes. Writing is so good. So good. So how are you doing? How's everything? Everything all right?
It goes. I'll just say that much.
Yeah. It's,
yeah.
I think that's the best a lot of us can say right now. It's just going. It's moving. It's moving and grooving. Anything else?
I would say it's not so much forward progress as not falling back, I guess.
Hey. Sometimes that's all you can hope for.
Yeah. Oh, and of course, Easy Red 2.
Oh, yeah, God.
It's a lot of my time.
Guys, if you haven't played Easy Red 2, holy Moses. It looks like it's a multiplayer game. It's not. I mean, it has multiplayer, but it is perfectly cromulent. And actually excellent in single player. And it plays like a multiplayer game with the AI. And it's really good AI. And you could play that one for holy crap, it's so good. There's just the maps are huge, there's so much going on. The objectives are dynamic, so it's never the same. It's just so good. Yeah. And they're still working on it.
And the DLC adds more locations
to play. I think Singapore is the next one that's about to come out, I think, or is it already out? I think
not out yet.
So basically someone wanted to make an old school Battlefield and
yes,
apparently succeeded.
Yes, that's exactly that's what a lot of people say.
With a single player focus. A single player focus, that's the thing.
Yeah,
is you can play it in multiplayer, but I've been playing it entirely in single player and having a blast.
Great, it's great. I mean, the AI is just, you forget that they're not people sometimes because they're just so compelling and good. And yeah, the maps are huge. It's such a good game, dude. It's such a
because
good game.
And because it's not like humans do, that play Battlefield are particularly clever anyway.
Exactly.
Well, it's not just that. It's that you have the inventory management. So if someone dies, you can loot their corpse for bandages and aspirin to heal yourself. You can loot their weapons. You can loot their ammo. And you can sort of customize what kind of class you're playing as through that.
Yeah, I haven't played it in a while. I should load it up. It's a challenging game. I die so often in it.
I die all the time.
All the freaking time. It's so challenging, but good. You know, it's never felt unfair. You know, it's never felt like, that was mean game, but no, it's like, I should have looked before I just ran over that ridge. You know, I should have maybe.
That's why you throw grenades before you go over the ridge.
And maybe I should have gone around instead of over, you know, that kind of thing. Yeah, it's like, that's on me. That's absolutely on me. But yeah, Easy Road 2 is really great, and they keep improving it and adding to it. It is really, really great.
And its normal price is not even $10.
No.
It's less than $10.
Yeah, and the DLC doesn't cost much either, if I recall. It's like, what, $5 to $7?
$2 each.
Oh, $2 each, even less than I was remembering.
No, sorry. No, it's $6.
Yeah,
sorry.
But still.
But on sale, though, it's like, it's cheaper than that.
But even full price, it's huge DLC. They're like big maps and everything. They're like expansions, basically, in the olden days, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, I can also easily recommend. Sorry, I didn't mean to. Easy Road. Sorry. I can very heartily recommend Easy Road 2 if you like first person shooters with a World War II theme, and you want to play those kind of old Battlefront. I get them.
The mod community is huge. I wouldn't be surprised if there end up being some Star Wars mods thrown in there as well.
I wouldn't be surprised. Eventually. Yeah. It's not only does it have great DLC and it's constantly being improved. Yeah. It's got modding also. And there's a lot of stuff in the workshop. It's really one of those games where like you don't hear a lot of people talking about when you meet someone who's played it, you're all like, oh yeah, that game. Yeah. I know. Yeah, man. Yeah.
I'm probably going to stream it right after this podcast.
Oh, so. Go, man. Yeah, that's a great game. I want to play it now. Well, not right now, but yeah, I'm going to load it up at some point today. But
I'm in the beta. They've got some new stuff in there too.
Oh,
rebalancing. Yeah.
Oh, good. I love how active they are. I just love like how active they are with their own game. Like it seems to be working really well for them. But that makes me very happy.
Yeah, the beta now has difficulty sliders that you can customize if you really want to.
Mm.
So not only can you set a global difficulty, but you can also change, say, for example, how realistic the bullet physics are, or change how much you can slide how much the a bullet velocity is a big thing, so you can decide how realistic those are.
Wow!
That's a new thing.
Wow!
You can even customize now down to, effectively how many active numbers can be on each side at a time.
Okay.
If you really want to tweak that, it disables achievements, but. You can, if you really want to make a custom game like that, you can.
That's great. No, I love stuff like that. Good on them. I mean, keep making it work. Wow.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. Keep making it better.
Okay. Was there anything else, Baz? Are we ready to move on?
That pretty much covers my stuff.
All right. Julie, how are you doing and what are you playing?
Well, the how am I doing first? I'll save a lot of the bad part for myself. But professionally, first profession, very stressful. We'll see. One of my grad school instructors once walked into his boss's office and said, "I was here when you got here. I'll be here when you leave. We'll see." my burgeoning profession? Well, when I first finished, third time's a charm, my third attempt at a book and first successful. And when I first finished the book, I told the publisher, "Hey, look, I finished the book." I said, "That's nice. You're just getting started." I said, "What?" So now we are finally down to the second to last step. Line editor is a third of the way through the book. And this morning I got, "Did you send us back the next three chapters?" And the noise pollution and my two dogs, Gardel, and they hate everybody that isn't us. The after the line editor comes, goes for formatting, and then they said, "Well, we're not going to do it. We'll do a second edition. We're not going to do a hardcover. We are going to do paperback." I had to go into the office, and I saw two coworkers, friends, and they said, "Oh, well, buy your book." I said, "No, I can say you're the one who read it." And, but I, you know, I didn't write it for me. I mean, I didn't write it to make money. I wrote it for me because, you know, leave something behind. And it is finally reached the point where it is, looks like within the month, it'll be out there.
Oh, great.
I would put the cover art out, but it's not copyrighted yet. The book itself is copyrighted.
Oh, good.
Can I say the name?
Of course.
It's a detective novel, but it's a science fiction detective novel. It's called, I wanted a different title, but I got overruled. It's called Detective Blognard, Angels and Aliens, and Blognard is the alien detective. And it's his hero was kind of a Sam Spade character, and it involves reincarnation and a lot of science fiction. And so I wrote one day when it got started, when during the pandemic, my sister arranged for some writing lessons from me with a friend of a friend who's this award-winning author. And she just said, "Your first lesson is on Saturday." I said, "For lesson for what?" And the first day, she just said, "First thing that comes into your mind." And I wrote it, and she liked it so much, it became a book. What I've been playing is a few things. We have a Sunday night gaming group, and it's not easy to have four people say, "Do you have this game? Do you have this game? Do you have this game?" So while we were deciding, at least three of us had Dungeons of Sundaria, which is just this little dungeon crawler. But we will be moving on to Lord of the Rings Online because it's free to very good. Play.
Yes, very good.
Back when it was first announced, I bought a lifetime subscription, and I hadn't played it for years, you know. And if you got a lifetime subscription, you get the funny money free. And I said, "Wow, there's how much is this?" And so I'm gonna go out and buy the biggest house in town, which I did. And you don't have to pay upkeep or anything. And I've been having a lot of fun with that. We've done a few trial runs, all with hobbits. I belong to a group called Concerning Hobbits only because the group Second Breakfast Club is not on our server. See, other than that, later on today when it gets delivered, I will be playing Cyberpunk 2077, but handheld.
Did you buy a physical copy?
I did, because when it first came out, Switch 2 wasn't sold on Amazon, and they made a mistake crossing the Nintendo Corporation. Never cross a Nintendo Corporation. They've been a corporation since before there was electricity in homes, and Jeff Bezos released some of their games early, and plus a bunch of other contract disputes. And so finally, after it had been out for about a month, Nintendo Corporation said, "Okay, we'll let you sell it, but only a limited amount." And so I got an invite, and I have been saving up all my, everybody says, give Julie an Amazon card, give Julie an Amazon card, give Julie an Amazon card. And I had enough to saved up to buy the Switch 2 and the 2077 for free for nothing, which is nice.
Ooh, is this your first time playing it?
I played it for a little bit. I didn't play it because I'm like, Keanu Reeves wants what? Fuck you. And I won't get into it because it's a big spoiler. And I kind of skipped around a little bit. I skipped to the ending and saw what I want and worked toward it. I've never played it straight through. And I've never played the new content. And in the meantime, because my job gets to be so incredibly stressful for a whole bunch of reasons I won't get into, sometimes my go-to game is Skyrim. My sister said, oh, how many times don't you play that game a lot? I said, yeah. How many times have you finished it? I said, just once. She said, just once? And I said, well, the thing is, if you've ever finished it, there's this point in the game where someone says, basically, hero, you have to go tell what happened to the Jarl. And I said, and you can play along with it, or you can flip the guy the finger and said, you MFers just tried to cut my head off. I've got a farm right outside Warwickstead. See you later. And it's like, see you later. And whenever someone comes up and says, you must be the hero we're all looking for, I just say, you got the wrong person. See ya. Bye. And I just live on in my little farm and exploit the masses. And whenever someone comes around to bother my immigrants, I said, leave them alone. This is why the steward has plate steel armor. You bother my immigrants, you'll be hobbling away. And it's very satisfying, and nobody ever bothers my immigrants. And on that, job's stressful, but I'm okay. I'm excited to finally have the book to the point where the first edition, anyway, will be out. The second book is about three quarters of the way finished, but that means the hard work just is going to start soon. So, and that's what I've been doing.
Sounds pretty busy, but mostly good. Mostly, I hope.
And if you can afford dogs, great burglar alarms, you know?
Yeah.
Several times, middle of the night, you know, the dogs go crazy. And they said, well, maybe I'll let them both out and see what happens.
So, yeah, folks, again, if you're going to get a dog, just be aware. It's a lot of work, a lot of money. Worth it if you can, do those things, because dogs are great. But, yeah. All right. Thorsten,
unlike a cat, when the dog wants to go out at 2 a.m, you got to take the dog.
If you're taking a cat out, you're doing something wrong. I mean, if you're taking
to be fair, my last cat was not only leash trained, he actually liked going on walks.
So, story time real quick. I got my first cat in 2007. She just kind of walked into my apartment, basically. And I was like, I know nothing about cats. I had only had dogs at that point. And a friend of mine flew into town that weekend. I know nothing about cats. So he was actually pretty helpful. Him and my girlfriend at the time both knew about cats. So we're out and about the next day. And I said to him, do we have to go home and walk the cat? I truly didn't know. He must have laughed for a good 5 minutes. Because I'm like, I don't know. He's like, no, dude, they go in the box. It's fine. I'm like, really? You don't have to walk them?
The easiest thing about that is if you raise a dog and a cat together, not only will they get along, but the dog will clean up after the cat for you.
It's true.
Yeah, I know. It's so gross.
You have to make a special effort to stop it from happening.
No. Actually, it's when my wife's sister's cat was a tiny kitten, one of her dogs would lick the poop right out of the cat's butt. Just nom, 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 nom. It's like, oh my God. But
I had to wedge the cat box in between the toilet and the counter.
But this is a vet. She is fine with it. So I'm like, okay, sure. You're the vet. You know, I guess. Sure, but.
You're the professional.
This is why my wife does not like dogs licking her face, because of stuff like that. And I can't really blame her, even though I'm fine with it. So, Thorsten, how are you doing and what are you playing?
Okay, I'm starting off with the sad part because our cat passed away
2 weeks ago. Oh, I'm sorry.
She was 14 years old. It was relatively fast. It was an affair of about 2 weeks when she started to. I mean, we still got two other cats, but
I know
that one was special.
Oh, I'm so sorry. That one was special.
It's always like you lose a family member.
Well, George Carlin said, "When you're buying a pet, you're buying a small tragedy," and truer words were rarely spoken.
that's really true. Otherwise, life is currently treating me relatively good.
Knock on IKEA wood.
Oof. Yeah, you are right. I mean, that could change. That could change very fast, as you know.
Yeah.
The only real problems is I had besides Cindy the cat is that Discord makes weird things currently that are really, really annoying me. I wouldn't say anger, but I would at least say annoying. Okay, coming to games. Like all you guys, nearly all you guys, I've played a lot over the past weeks. I've played a lot of Void Bastards again. I played a lot of Approaching Infinity.
Yes,
excellent. I played a lot of Scavenger as before. And then Spaz intervened and suggested me a sea chip.
Oh, yes.
Oh, no.
Okay.
Oh, man. Guys, if you haven't played Sea Chip, it is free. It's a mobile game. Is there a PC or a web-based thing?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, it's available on itch.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's on itch, but I've been playing it on mobile. Oh my God, this game, you guys. Sorry, Thorsten, go ahead. You brought it up.
I mean, this game basically runs on every fucking fucking.
It really does.
You can imagine.
It really does. It's a pure text adventure. It's basically what it is. It's a choose your own adventure game, basically. Purely text based, and it's terrific, you guys. If you guys have, we've been talking in our admin chat. We've been sharing scores because it came up a few shows ago. We're like, oh yeah, Sea Chip, yeah, that one, right? So we've been like sharing our scores in our little admin channel. It's really fun, actually. Oh man!
I mean, given that it's really only text based and there are no graphics included.
Oh my god!
I don't remember. I guess it was sometimes in the 1980s that I last played a game that was only text based and that was some Infocom adventure. But okay, here we are. It is 2025. We've got VR and all that stuff, and I play a text based adventure, and it gets better. I played the other game, or better, one of the other games by the same dev, and that is Beyond the Chiron Gate.
God, that one's even better. It's Beyond the Chiron Gate is great, but it is like more brutal on your psyche than Sea Chip can be. Dear Lord. Oh my God.
Yep.
it's an understatement. It's very tough. And that surprised me the most. You really have to think every single decision you do. And you have to take risks. You sometimes have to sacrifice one of your crew members. It's a tough little game, and it's also text-based only. And I play that a lot. Every minute, I don't play some other game. I'm doing this one.
So good.
It's crazy. It's a crazy game, and I caught it on Steam during the sale. And I've got to say that money was good spent, really good.
Yes.
And
should we explain
the last game?
Wait, should we explain how these games work?
Because
they're kind of so folks. So these are basically choose your own adventure games, but they're a little different. In Seed Ship, you're the AI of a colony ship. They call it a seed ship, and you have to make decisions in order to save your crew, and you have to find a planet for your crew to settle on. You only have a certain amount of resources. You have to save. Sometimes you have to sacrifice crew members, colonists to save the ship. It's just every decision is interesting, and it really can affect how your game can play out. And sometimes you can have a good ending where they're like, oh yeah, they landed on a great planet and they followed art and they lived their dreams. And then somebody like, they're living in caves as slaves of an alien race. And you're like, Jesus Christ. But the decisions you take get you there, and it's very compelling, and it's amazing. Beyond the Chiron Gate is a similar kind of game, but it's very different. You're sending out these three-person expeditions to try and gather data and resources about these different systems beyond this weird alien gate. I think it's an alien gate. And so basically, you're landing on planets to scout them and everything, and crew members die regularly, and you only get three of them. So if they all die, it's game over. I've had so many game. I had one game that was over in like a minute. It's like, the ship's about to be hit by radiation. You start off with
three.
Yeah, you start off with. Oh, can you
start off with three, but you can upgrade them more.
Oh, okay, that's good. I haven't gotten that far yet, but that's good. But like, I had one game last like a minute because it was like, oh, you tried to land on this irradiated planet, huh? Let's see if you can take off again. Nope. Oh no. That was like my quickest run.
That's the colony now.
Yeah, no, it's not. This is beyond the Chiron Gate. It's not a colony game. You're sending out expeditions to explore planets. And yeah, once they all die, the game's over. So like, I had these guys die in like a minute or less. Like, holy crap. Yeah, these games are brutal on your psyche, but they're so fun to play. But I don't play them for like extended sessions, because my God, I'd be depressed, I think, if I played them for extended sessions. But they're really great. Seed Ship, again, I believe is free just about everywhere.
It is.
So give Seed Ship a try. It is, for a text-only game, it is exceptional. Absolutely exceptional. Anyway, Thorsten, I cut you off. Did you have anything else?
Oh, of course.
Okay.
But first I want to talk about Beyond the Chiron Gate, because 1 minute is actually pretty good. I've managed to kill and destroy the game on the first planet I've landed. That was a shock. That was actually the third game I've tried. Yeah, it was the third game. That was pretty. Again, 1 minute is pretty good. And what I want to mention is, even if they're only text based, or maybe because of it, both games, Seed Ship and Beyond the Chiron Gate, have an exceptional sense of wonder in them that I often miss in other games. And I really love the writing in it. Mm-hmm. And
mm-hmm. Yes,
that's a really great thing. And then, okay, and I've got another game I play very much, and that's an air traffic controller game.
Oh, which one's that?
Called Mini Airways. And it's a pretty simple one.
I've heard of that one.
It's a pretty simple game. But it's when I don't play one of the other two games I've mentioned previously, I play currently Mini Airways. Again, it's pretty simple. It's not a simulation or anything in that direction. But it's exceptionally fun, and it has some really interesting events coming up. I only say Air Force One. That's a funny went.
Is this the ATC? Is it Mini Airways ATC simulator? Is that the one?
Yep. Okay. Yep. Yeah. I've linked it in the stream chat.
I see. Oh yes. Sorry, I missed that. Ah yes, yes, yes. Okay, great. Great.
That's everything for me.
Great. Jacob, how about you? How are you doing? And what are you playing?
I'm alive, mostly.
Yeah. Aren't we all? Mostly.
Yes. Games I've been somewhat slowing down on. I have been mostly sorting out a lot of personal stuff. I have been diagnosed with severe sleep apnea.
Oh, welcome to the club. Welcome to the club. How many events? How many events per hour for you?
I don't know what an event is in this context.
Okay, so how many times did you stop breathing per hour, basically? How many events?
I don't actually recall. I know I have an REM percentage of zero.
Oh, that's
so, not good. That's pretty bad.
That's not good at all. That's not good.
That is extremely bad. I am doing basically everything possible to get that sorted out, and supposedly if the doctor schedules align, I should be by the end of the month actually capable of sleeping.
Are you getting an APAP?
A CPAP, yes. Okay. That is the apparently technical term.
Well, there's two. There's the CPAP, which is continuous positive airway pressure, which just goes at one speed, basically. And there's the APAP, which is automatic positive airway pressure, which adjusts the airflow based on how you're breathing.
Well, I'll see which one I get later in the month, because that's when I'll be getting it, because the one doctor that's supposed to show it off is currently on vacation.
Okay. I'm just going to tell you, I got diagnosed with excessive sleep apnea a few years ago. I was basically stopping breathing once per minute every night, and it was terrible.
Yeah, that's bad.
Yeah, it was very bad. And they gave me an APAP, which I've used constantly every night since then. It is life-changing. Let me tell you, you will be so much happier, because your body will, because like not getting that good sleep damages your body, and starting to get good sleep will start to heal your body, and you will start to feel better. Not only because of the better sleep, but like your organs will start healing, you know, because you're getting better sleep. I'm not even making this up. I'm not being hyperbolic. This is what the doctor told me. And so I'm very excited for you. I'm very, very excited for you, because I am a big proponent of, like, whenever I hear anyone, oh, I'm snoring a lot. Have you gotten tested? Did you get tested? Go get tested. I tell everybody now, go get sleep tested. Get tested for sleep apnea, because so many people have sleep apnea and they don't even know it.
And alarmingly common, yes.
Yes, and so many people just don't get it treated. And I didn't even think about it until I was on a cruise with, like, my aforementioned wife's sister and her husband. They're like, your snoring is aggressive. You have to do something about this. I'm like, all right, I'll go to the doctor. And it's funny, the first night I used it, my wife had to poke me to make sure I was alive, because it was so quiet.
Because you were just deathly quiet. And
I wasn't snoring. I wasn't snoring anymore. So she had to make sure I was alive. But yeah, I am so happy for you. I'm very excited for you that you got diagnosed and you're getting the machine, because that is life changing. Oh my God. I'm so excited for you. Oh my God.
I might actually be able to operate as a person now instead of this sort of half alive zombie.
Oh my God. Seriously. The benefits won't happen right away, but like you will start to feel better quickly once you start getting good sleep.
To know.
Now, don't be afraid to try different masks. I got the full face mask, but some people do better with the, this is Sleep Apnea Cast, podcast within a podcast where we talk about sleep apnea. So there's two different things. There's a full face mask that covers your nose and your mouth. And there's the nasal pillow I don't know why they call it this, that just goes over your nose. And some people do better with one or the other. I do better with the full face mask. I know people who do better with the nasal pillow. So be sure to figure out which works best for you. Don't just go with the default or whatever. But yeah, definitely make sure you figure out what works best. So you get the best sleep you can, because my God, when it works, it's astounding. Absolutely astounding. I cannot recommend it enough. I'm so happy for you. I'm legitimately so happy for you, because I know them. I very well personally know how well this works. So yay.
I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, I'm so excited for you. Okay. That's good. That's great. I'm very happy to hear that. That's amazing. That's going to just improve so many little things. So many little things. Anyway, continue, please.
Well, like, don't really have much else to report besides that, because that has been pretty much taking up my entire, this entire month, largely.
Getting like, tested and everything.
Getting tested, getting reported. My mum, a wonderful person and medical doctor, has decided to just give me one of everything as far as tests are concerned.
Oh, good. That's good.
So I got like proper blood work done of literally everything.
No, that's good. That's good. That's what people should do. If you catch shit earlier, it's easier to treat. So don't be afraid to go to the doctor and get yourself tested for shit. You know, do your blood work, get your physical, you know, do your stuff, because if you wait, it's going to be not only harder to treat, but more expensive to treat.
Yeah. So I'm not going to say expensive isn't a concern. It's less of a concern because
socialized medicine.
I'm not American.
Yes, I know, but still.
But still, it's a lot less of a hassle when you catch stuff early.
Exactly.
When it comes to games, I don't really have that much to report.
Okay.
I have returned to Stalker 2 now that it got the big 1.5 update that kind of brought it back where it should be.
Was that like a 60 gig patch? Was that like a massive patch that I heard about?
It's okay. That part is kind of overstated, because what the game does is it redownloads the entire game at once.
Oh,
instead of
fuck.
Just additively patching
what?
Bits in,
what?
Which is stupid.
Oh, come
but
on.
It's how they've done it.
Oh, jeez. No, it's 2025. You don't need to do that anymore.
Yes, though the game is running on an engine from like 500 years ago.
Oh my God.
I think. I don't know. But the reason why 1.5.1 was important because they re-added or sort of re-added a feature from the first games. Basically, one of the big things that Stalker 1 had was called, I believe, A-Life or something like that. It's essentially like persistent NPCs and simulated NPCs across the entire map, instead of, you know, things spawning in at random.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't present at the game's release, presumably supposedly because it just didn't quite work properly without the game exploding.
Oh, that's not good.
But they have re-added it now. They have fixed a lot of stuff, and the game was okay at release, and it is now good. That's what I'm willing to argue.
Oh, that's good. I know a lot of people are very excited about that game, so that's good to hear.
Yes, and considering that it comes from a game studio that was under active shelling, pretty good work. Pretty solid work.
That's right. I forgot about that. Well, I'm glad that game has dug itself out of its hole, and I'm glad, especially glad you got diagnosed. I mean, I'm not happy you have sleep apnea, but I'm glad you got diagnosed so you could treat it. So that's,
we can't all be perfectly healthy.
No,
I don't think anyone is.
No.
But getting better is
important.
If you can't be perfect, getting better is preferable.
Yeah. That's why I say the other stream, get your tests, man. Get your shots, get all the things. Cause I mean, I know it's a little scary, but it's for the best. I'm not even being hyperbolic. Okay, so to wrap up, we are going to, hang on, how do I do this? One second. There it is. We're going to spin the wheel of topics and choose our next few topics for the show. So we've got our topics from our roundtable that we did several episodes ago. We still have about 20 here. So let's do three. All right, so click in. What do we got? So this is visual if you're listening, but spinning a wheel of topics we came up with on our topic roundtable podcast, a few spiritual successors. Oh, that'll be fun. That'll be fun. That, yeah. And talk about that one. Okay. And we're going to remove that. All right. This wheel of names thing is great, by the way, because if it picks a thing, you can have it removed from the list. Really handy. All right. Let's pick a couple more. Ooh. Okay. Mods 2.0. Also a Chris topic. I will have to ping him. Are you still here, Chris? I'll have to figure out. I'll have to get elaboration on those. And one more. Let's do one more. Oh, no. Ooh. Ah, free-to-play mechanics. Beyond monetization. All right. Sure. Yeah, why not? All right. So we have the next few topics. So that's going to do it for today, my friends. It's good to be back. Thank you for your patience again. Sorry about the last couple of weeks. We're going to try to be more consistent. We always try to be, but you know, things happen. Life happens. Tomorrow on the stream, we're going to return to Star Valor, but I now have the base building DLC. I was very generously provided that. So we're going to see how that do. So have a great day, everyone. Be safe, be well, take care of each other. Please get vaccinated. And again, get your shots, wear your masks, get checked out. Maybe I should add that. Get checked out by your doctor. Make sure everything's okay. Thank you, as always, to our patrons who help pay for things like Restream, which we use to stream to multiple networks. It is not cheap. Don't forget to check out Retro Dogfight. We just recorded episode 5. Very excited about that. And don't forget to wear a helmet. We'll see you back here tomorrow, everyone. Have a great one. Bye-bye.